So, I talked last week about what we can do in response to what's happening in our country and talked about kind of three spheres of action and that, excuse me, our practice is a form of action. Our practice really trains us in all the qualities that we might feel we need and that we feel are lacking outside. So it trains us in non-aggression, non-violence. It trains us in deep listening. It trains us in being okay when it's not okay. It really helps us be non-reactive and pro-responsive. So our practice is a form of action very much. It's something we can do. And I talked also about how we can then, in our web of relationships with our friends and family and at work and everywhere we go, we can enact the values that we see so lacking around us. And we can be that light in the dark. And then the third thing I talked about is how our Dharma practice informs actions we can take more in the social, political sphere. So I'll probably give a series of talks embedded in those three things. And so I want to just talk more about the first element of this, working with the inner. And I want to talk about emotional wisdom. And emotional intelligence is a very well-known phrase. Emotional wisdom is taking emotional intelligence and really basing it in the lessons of Dharma and our experience. It's like the experience of working well with our emotions. So you might think this is some kind of great apocalypse that's happening. You might also hear a perspective from different spiritual teachers that this is some form of great awakening, that as our universal consciousness starts to awaken more, then there's this kind of reactive forces against that. So maybe this is a great awakening, but either way, our job is the same. Our job is to love and pay attention and serve. These are the three aspects of the Bodhisattva heart. And our Bodhisattva heart is exactly what is needed for these challenging times. So I want to talk about the presence part or the pay attention part. As we work, you explore emotional wisdom. When the future looks so challenging, so intimidating, and we're already, seeing just the plans, it's incredibly difficult. How do we stay open-hearted? How can we keep this kind of inner activity of our practice going? How do we stay present? So there's a story from Jack Kornfield when he was a monk, and he was walking in the forest with the abbot of the monastery, Ajahn Chah, a very well-known, revered meditation teacher in 20th century Thailand. And so they come across a huge boulder in the woods, and Ajahn Chah asked Jack, "Do you think this boulder's heavy?" And Jack said, "Well, of course, it's huge." And Ajahn Chah said, "Well, only if you pick it up." So what is the boulder? There's lots of different ways to say that, but One way is the boulder is our incessant, addictive pattern of being completely lost in our stories and our hypotheses and our projections. And as much as we need to do that with our thinking mind, it's also optional in any moment. In any moment, we can let go and just drop into this moment. In this moment, especially when we're in our physical senses, we drop out of the trouble. And it's not some kind of avoidance or apathy to drop out of the trouble. It's more like we need to dip into this moment to find our resilience and to find our strength. And many, many times we need to let go and just be right here. And then what's really interesting is the more we do this, actually, the more clear our thoughts become. And I'll use a little, my own little Dharma Yogi Berra ism. He had his own little, lots of little, great quotes. If you see a fork in the road, take it. I'm good at that. But my little Yogi Berra ism is, it's not smart to be so intelligent. We spend so much time just lost in all of our really kind of conjuring realities. So for to manage our stress, and I'm sure a lot of people are working with fear, with anger, sadness, grief, bewilderment. You might also be working with optimism, and sort of feeling energized to be active and to join with like-minded people. This is a real opportunity to do that. So it's not just the tough stuff happening right now. But really, how do we work wisely with our emotions? How do we stay open-hearted when our heart can feel so contracted? So a little clue comes from an experiment that Richard Davidson and his colleagues did. And they were really looking at the difference between meditators and non-meditators and how they work with physical pain. So the experiment was to put a hot iron on someone's forearm, and they would get a signal that it was going to happen in like 10 seconds. And then it would happen for 10 seconds. And the heat was high. It was like an 8 on the scale. So pretty hot. Hopefully it didn't burn people, but anyway. And what they did is they were measuring kind of brain response before, during, and after the application of pain. And you might be surprised that one finding is that the actual pain itself, participants self-reported, the intensity of pain, and it was the same or more intense for the meditators than it was for the non-meditators. But then in both self-reports as well as, brain signature, the meditators had much less stress in the brain after getting the signal that the pain was coming. So there's a period, 10 seconds, I think, before the pain. And during that 10 seconds where you know the pain's coming, the meditators had much less stress in the brain than the non-meditators. And then for the 10 seconds after the pain, the meditators had much less kind of post-stress in the brain. So, such a simple little study, and but it just illustrates what we know about our practice. We stress a lot less. Painful things happen, but we anticipate them less, and then we recover from them much more quickly. And so our practice allows us the ability to be resilient. We feel things just as strongly, if not more strongly, because we're not having our conceptual filters. But we stress less before and after. So, and one of the important things we need to do to stay, in this kind of healthy relationship with stress is to really remember, this will help us let go of thoughts more. Our thoughts cannot capture what our experience will be moment to moment. Like you have a general idea of what today is going to be. You have plans, or if you don't have plans, you still have a general idea. You might be going right to work. If you're not working, you're retired. Whatever your plans are, moment to moment, you have no idea what your day is going to be like. Much less, between now and January 20th, and much less, for the next 4 years after that. We don't know specifically. We generally have some good ideas. But moment to moment, our life is far more mysterious and there's far more possibility if we're willing to live our lives moment to moment, if we're willing to keep dropping in to our practice, keep showing up for this moment, and we acknowledge our thoughts, and then we let go. So, I want to give you the three secrets of emotional wisdom. How we can stay open-hearted and not lose our clarity and not lose our kindness. The three secrets to emotional wisdom are sensation, sensation, sensation. Why is this so important in working with our heart? We want to open to our heart, but the key is really staying grounded in our body. So, partly this is because, so if there's fear, so the thinking mind is projecting into the future and it's unpleasant. So we feel fear. In the present, the mind is creating a future. If we then turn to the body, what do we feel like in the body when we're scared? Then we might notice a flutter in the belly. We might notice, I don't know, some kind of acidy sort of buzz, in the ribs or, tension in the shoulders, different physical experiences. When we ground our attention there, we are right here in the present moment. Our thoughts are future-based, but our experience is we're in the present moment part of fear, which is those sensations. And, when we are aware of an emotion, we're not trying to deny the story, but generally we've elaborated this story 89 times. Maybe on the 90th time, we'd be willing to just let go, got the story, thank you, and feel our body. And when we do that, we're staying open to the fear, but we're sort of dropped down out of the drama. We're in our physical experience, which is much more grounded and much more present. A third reason to stay embodied when we're feeling things is that we often don't know how we feel. And our personality is tricky. If you ask your mind, well, how am I doing? You might get an answer about how you think you should be doing. But if you ask the body, how am I doing? And let's say I didn't know I was scared, then I feel flutter in the belly. Oh, actually, my body's telling me something that my mind sort of was too tricky to admit. So the body is like a truth teller of our experience. It really tells us how we're doing. So reasons to stay in the body. And then a last reason, and this is very interesting, I think, is whatever we're feeling, if it's painful, but you're allowing it and opening to it, you avoid depression. So if you're feeling fear, anger, sadness, grief, but you're allowing the feelings and working with them, there's an aliveness in what you're doing. If you're trying to avoid everything and numb out, that can lead to depression. And depression, yes, it's a mood in the mind, but it's, I think, more than that, it's a strategy. It's an emotional strategy called shut it down. And what's so interesting is when they do studies of brain activity during depression, the brain loses access to the back. The back of the brain is our physical world. The five physical senses all get processed in the back of the brain. In the front of the brain is more of our cognitive part of the brain. But in depression, we lose access to our physical experience. And we get stuck in the front of the brain in our cognitive ruts. And so, and the reason for this probably is that because depression is shutting things down, we don't want to feel our body because that is the kind of place where emotions can be known. And so we're cutting off from our emotions and we cut off from our body. So mindfulness is being used to work with depression and to help people come out of depression. And a lot of it means being able to re-access the back of the brain and our physical experience. So literally smelling the flowers, you know, seeing the sunset. I mean, yesterday the sunset was so beautiful here in Longmont. So glad I got a chance. I was out when it happened. So getting physical is really a way to work out of depression. Okay, so we're going to do some practice. And I think I will just, because of time, I will just do some guiding as we practice. And a lot of you are very familiar with the RAIN technique for working with emotions developed by Michelle McDonald. And I have a variation of it called Ratha. And Ratha is a way of sort of doing RAIN, but a little more directed. So with RAIN, the R stands for recognize. We want to know what we're feeling. The A stands for allow or accept. And for me, this is a very loving allowing. I like the phrase, of course, for whatever emotion I'm feeling. And then the T of Ratha is towards in the body or turn towards in the body. And so what if I'm feeling fear, I'm going to turn towards that flutter in the belly and feel it. And then the last letter, the A, is away in the body. So I'm going to turn away from that flutter in the body and notice what else is in the body. And that way I'm not collapsed around the emotion. There's still a body here that's probably not all of it activated in the state. So we will work with our emotions and Rata. So I'll ring the bell. So let's just start just by first not really having an agenda in our practice. So just practice as you like to do. Okay, so we normally in our practice don't go looking for things, but we're going to experiment a little and do that because I want you to have a chance to apply Rata. So if you would, just bring to mind the last time you felt irritated or angry, or not, doesn't have to be the last time, but sometime when that energy, kind of aversive or irritated or angry energy arose. And see if you can just really put yourself back there. And then we'll just work with Rata. So recognize, is there anger, aversion, irritation? Maybe it's impatience, but whatever it is, it's helpful with the recognize just to name it. So make a mental note of it, quiet note in the mind. And now allow. Just fully allow this energy. How big can it get? And the phrase I really like here is, of course. Of course. Like a grandparent relating to a grandchild. Of course. Now, turn towards the experience in the body. We want to be physical. Does this register in the body as sensation? If so, then be curious about sensation. The mind is paying attention to physical. You're not elaborating the story. You're just feeling the body. And if it's not obvious in the body, then feel your breath. Now, the last letter of Rata, A, is away in the body. Now notice everywhere the emotion isn't expressing in the body. Often it's the back of the body or lower body. Feel the rest of your body. Okay, just continue now with your practice. Okay, now let's try this one more time. And I'm going to say something that may well provoke emotion. What I want you to do as much as possible is just sort of understand like the headline of whatever story arises, but see if you can, not just go to town on the story, just, come into Rata. Okay? So when I say January 20th, we will have a new president, Inauguration Day, Just notice what happens when you hear them. And then use Rata. Be mindful of this first by recognizing what's the emotion. See if you can name it. And now, can you allow it or accept it? Just say, of course. Now turn towards in the body. Where does it register physically? Be curious about sensation, tight, prickly, hot, pulse, throb, tingle, whatever. And now turn away in the body where isn't this emotion. Again, typically back and down. And you may find then if the emotion's still there, you can do back and forth. Come back to where the body's activated. Feeling sensation, and then when that's fully registered, you can turn away to where sensations are not expressing that emotion. And then just letting go of any purposeful content and just be in your regular practice. Very briefly, I know you may need to leave. I'm going to say a few things, and then I'm happy to stay if people have questions or comments. But very briefly, what we find when we work with our emotions this way, open-hearted but not swept away, embodied, we find resiliency. And the resiliency comes from the impermanence of everything. And our emotions are impermanent. I love that the word emotion is motion with an E in front of it. And I think the E stands for energy. An emotion is energy that wants to move if we let it. If we're able to contact it directly like this through Rata and staying in the body, what we find is our emotions arise, they last for a while, and then they go all by themselves. And that's resiliency. We go into our tough stuff and we come out. You know, we go into our more pleasant emotions and we come out. We're resilient. So you don't have to change your difficult stuff. You just have to outlast it. So I'll stop with that.